Hebrews chapter 5, speaking of the priesthood of Christ, beginning with verse 10. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And here the apostle is speaking of the fact that Christ's priesthood was of a higher order than the priesthood of Aaron. In fact, we will talk about that more in the future. But this seemed to be a truth that the Hebrews, the Jewish Christian professors, had a hard time comprehending, that the priesthood of Christ was of a different order. The priesthood of Aaron being an earthly priesthood, a priesthood that was ended by death, and that the priesthood of Christ was of a higher order. It was a priesthood pictured by Melchizedek. And in chapter 7 and verse 3, we have an insight into that. It says that Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And so we have here the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere, so to speak. No biblical record of his descent, no biblical record of his parentage, no record of the end of his life. All of that is figurative of Christ's priesthood, without beginning, without end. Personally, I think Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate Christ, but there's no conclusive evidence to that. Otherwise, I do find it hard to, for the name Melchizedek, which means in Hebrew king of righteousness, who's also called the king of Salem, which is in Hebrew the king of peace. And but we won't go into that. But in chapter 5, the apostle now says, verse 11, about this order of Melchizedek. It says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For one, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, here we find a number of important truths about the Bible, number of important truths about understanding the Bible, some important truths about our own spiritual ability to understand and receive biblical truth. First of all, we find that not all Scripture is equally able to be understood. There are different levels of scriptural truth. There are different levels of Scripture in their difficulty of being understood. There are those which are called milk, that anyone should be able to understand. Any babe, brand new Christian, ought to be able to understand. There are other scriptures that would take greater maturity to understand. It is similar to what the Lord said in John 16:12, when he said to the disciples, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. And they were not able to spiritually understand them or receive them at that particular time. So we find that that there are different levels of difficulty of Scripture for people to understand. And that's important truth. And so secondly, now we could go to that and you could say, well, people would say one of the easy places in the Bible to read is the book of Psalms. And over the years, I've noticed checking devotion notebooks that is very interesting, checking devotion notebooks. I've learned a lot of different things at different times. But one observation that isn't totally true, but there's a little bit of truth, that many times those who are less serious about really learning what the Bible says take their devotions most of the time from the book of Psalms. Now, if you kind of can see through that, you would say, okay, here's someone who is not really mature in the Lord. And these people that I'm observing this were definitely not very mature. And they're spending a lot of time in the book of Psalms. But you know, I've never yet preached through the book of Psalms. You know why? Probably one of the most difficult books in the Bible to teach through. It would appear to be simple, but to really teach it and to really present it in a way that I would feel adequate, no, I haven't gotten there yet. Another thing is like the book of John. You know, the book of John is a book written with the simplest language in the Bible. And yet, if a person would want to adequately teach the book of John, they will find that, boy, this is a book that is so profound. It has such simple words, but it's such a profound message. It is very difficult to adequately teach the book of John. Okay? Why? Because there are scriptures that are of different level of understanding. And sometimes those that seem to be so easy to grasp are really very difficult. I remember we had, Mr. Raines was just talking to me about evangelist John Conley. Was that his name? Ken Conley. And he was here on a Wednesday night and he preached a message on the Song of Solomon. I wish we had that taped. It was a profound message. And I would have to say it was not because the book, it was a profound message because you will find very few what I would call great expositions on the book of the Song of Solomon. So, we have levels of Scripture. Maybe this is a little lesson. That if you're picking and choosing places in the Bible to read because they look easier, you might really be showing the evidence that you don't really understand what you're reading. The second truth is that there's not only different levels of Scripture, but obviously the apostle said, I would like to tell you more about Melchizedek. I'd like to tell you more about Melchizedek. But he says they're hard to be uttered. They're a higher level of scriptural truth. But he also says, ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. There's the level, different levels of ability to understand the Bible. There is the ability of a babe. There is the ability that the Bible says that these people ought to have been at that level to be adults or mature or to be teachers of God's Word. I remember when we started the church, there was a lady who started coming. Some of the people said, oh wow, that's great. She's been saved for 25 years. The problem is, over those 25 years, she was in a weak church. And the believers that we had miscalculated the idea of someone being saved a long time with the ability to understand the Bible. Complete difference. You know, I heard a sermon by, can't think of his name right now. I heard a sermon by a preacher. At that time, he was college president. And he was preaching on tattoos. And I wasn't there. I heard it on tape. But I could tell as he was introducing the subject, there was a lot of opposition to what he was saying. And in the process of teaching what the Bible says, he gave this illustration. He said there was a young man in my church, 20-year-old, that got saved. I started a discipleship lesson with him. And the second Bible study, we got together. He came to the Bible study and he says, hey, Pastor, I want to show you my tattoo. What do you think? And the pastor took him to 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Knowing not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. A young man looked at that verse and he said, oh boy, according to the Bible, my body doesn't belong to me. I can't do with my body whatever I choose to do. And the preacher's comment was this. A young man, a babe in the Lord, 2 weeks old, was able to comprehend God's Word, and a bunch of people who were studying in college, who had many been Christians for a long time, had a hard time comprehending that same truth. There are levels of ability to understand the Bible. And it is not the same as age or how long you've been saved. Because some people can be saved a long time and have a very low level of ability to understand the Scriptures. Whereas the norm is that when you are a babe, you should be able to grasp certain truths. And as you grow, you ought to be able to grasp even deeper truths from God's Word. It obviously telling us that growth is normal. You know, isn't it sad that sometimes it's the opposite? Just like here. Sometimes that when people are babes in the Lord, They have a greater ability to comprehend truth than when they're older. Sometimes it seems like that's what happened to the Hebrews. And so there's different levels of ability to understand God's Word. Different levels of ability. And So, I guess the next principle we find here is that, how did I put that? There are, levels of the spiritual keenness of one's spiritual senses. There are different levels of the spiritual keenness of spiritual senses. Okay, you have physical senses. Touch, right? Smell, hearing. You have senses. Seeing. You know, that those are, but this text tells us that there are such things as spiritual senses. It says here, verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age." Now, he's using the parallel that different levels of truth is milk. You know, you don't feed a baby steak. You know? You feed them, the first food you feed them is some green, ugly stuff. You know? Peas and liver mashed together. I mean, I don't know, but it sure looks ugly. No. But you don't give them that kind of food till later. Give them milk, and then you give them the next grade, and then you get, then they finally get the T-bone steak. Okay? Right, Mr. Rains? Okay. Now, there's a spiritual parallel here with spiritual senses. There's spiritual eyes, there's spiritual ears. Their spiritual taste, their spiritual appetites. You know, some don't have very good spiritual appetite. Some don't have very good spiritual taste. Spiritual eyes. And so we have this sense of senses. It says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's a discernment of good and evil. There is a discernment that grows in a person's life with spiritual growth. All right? And so, just like your own senses. I think I've spoken of different things. But you know, take a handsaw. They don't use them too often. Who was with me the other day? Oh, Jonathan. Where's Jonathan? Oh, poor guy. But the other day, I was cutting the bottoms of some doors off, and my circle saw had a dull blade. And besides that, I didn't want to make a big mess. So I cut the bottoms of these doors off with a handsaw. And I said to Jonathan, I says, I bet you've never seen anybody cut the bottom of a door off with a handsaw. And he says, nope. But try to take somebody who, take a fifth grader and give him a handsaw. And let him start sawing. What's going to happen? Well, hopefully they won't put a lot of muscle into it and let it skip and cut their finger. But, you know, pretty soon that saw is going to start binding and they're not going to be able to hardly push it through the wood and they're going to go crooked and everything else. But, you know, the fact is, I don't saw. I don't handsaw hardly ever. But, you know, your skills are developed. And just because I did a lot of woodworking through the years, I can still saw pretty good. Doesn't bind, you know, just saws a straight, nice straight line. And fairly perpendicular, you know. Talking about the skill of those skills. Scott Hatchett, I'd never forget the time that he told me about when the skill saws, the circle saws came into being. And the union carpenters, they were used to sawing by hand. And I don't know what this has to do with the sermon, but it's quite a story. And so, you know, they would cut a piece of plywood, you know. They would cut a piece of plywood, and they take that handsaw, and of course you use your thumb for a guide on a handsaw, and they'd go, shh, they'd cut that piece of plywood like it was butter, you know. And the union said, no, that's, you can't do that anymore. You have to use a circle saw, and it's a lot faster. And so, you know, there is. Use this thumb for the guide one too many times. But, you know, skill. How about a block plane? How do you do with a block plane? Huh? Use one today. You know what? I can remember starting off on the block plane. I guess I never got very skillful at it. But, you know, man, it's easy to get those things jammed up and you can't get anything cut off with them. You have to learn how to use them. And your skill level increases as you use them, as you do it over and over and over and over. And the Bible says there's such a thing as spiritual senses that are necessary to understand the Bible. Because the Bible's a spiritual book. It's not a mere intellectual add 1 + 1 book. Period. It's a spiritual book. And it's not for brains. It's not just for brains. In fact, the more intellectual people are, more brainy they are, many times they are the ones that have the harder time to correctly interpret the Bible. Now, that's also on the contrary wise. If a person has a great mind that God has given them, and they are spiritual, like they ought to be, unbelievable. You think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was not just the run-of-the-mill guy. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, before he was 20 years of age, had read all the Puritans. And if you know anything about the Puritans, all their books were thick. He had read them all. And 20, 30 years later, he could still quote pages at a time. He was a brilliant man. And his ability to teach the Bible was that brilliant mind that was capped with the spiritual senses made the difference. Spiritual senses. And so it says, what's the key? Using those spiritual senses. Okay, what are the spiritual senses? Well, let me put it this way. Okay? If you're a child, you probably don't understand this. But if you're a dad, you do. If you're giving instruction to one of your children, and they're not very obedient, you're almost going to talk just like the Apostle Paul. You're going to say, you know, there's things I'd like to tell you, but they're hard to be uttered. You want to tell your child something, but you know you can't tell them. They won't get it. They won't receive it. They don't want it. And so the best thing, not say anything. As a parent, you're frustrated. You wouldn't want it to be that way, but why? Not an obedient spirit. Not an obedient spirit. Not a spirit, not the senses that... You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking of Bible quizzers. You know, we have this adult Bible quiz every time we have this Falls McQuanago parent-teen thing, you know? And you know, you really begin to appreciate the skill level of these Bible quizzers. You watch them, you know? And they've learned to listen so well. I hope they do that same thing in obedience to their parents' commands. But they've learned to listen so well that they jump before they've thought the thing through because they've learned to listen for the right word. And boom, they're up. And they've so learned to listen that before this keyword is given, they almost can guess what the keyword is. I tell you what, that's a level of listening, isn't it? That's a developed skill, a listening level. You know, there's a spiritual truth there. It's not like, oh, I got to tell this, I got to give you every single detail here for you to understand it. Nope. There's a level of skill. They don't have to read the whole question, do they? They don't have to get to the key words sometimes. They've learned to listen so well, boom, they got it figured out. Well, there's a spiritual truth. And that's what the level of the skill of obedience. It's the level of the skill of the senses of, like someone said, of spiritual appetite. You know, it's amazing. You can read the Bible, and the spiritual appetite will determine the truth that's already there that you get. You know, you can read the same passage of Scripture and that truth just hits you right between the eyes. You say, boy, that was great. And you can be spiritually dull and that truth will escape you completely. And you know, that's a real problem, young people. It's a real problem to realize that you can hear things over and over and say, oh, I know that. But you really don't. You know, a child can say that to his parent. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Oh, really? Oh, really? There's a spiritual senses that are significant. Think of John 7:17. If any man will, we can understand it better in English to understand it's not a helping word, verb. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know the doctrine. There's a spiritual sense of wanting to obey. Here it says, their sense is exercised by reason of use, whether it's obedience, whether it's the sense of experiencing truth in a person's life. It's acting upon it. Did you ever notice something? I don't know if you know. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but maybe you will someday. But the people who respond to the Bible the most, this is getting really profound now. The people who respond to the Bible the most respond to the Bible the most. That's real profound, isn't it? Should I explain it? And I like to use the young people because they're a good scapegoat. The young person that you see and you think, boy, they're doing well. I'm really thankful for them. They're doing well. And you know, when you preach a sermon and you're really trying to preach a truth and see God do something in the lives of the young people, and you're really praying for those young people that aren't right with God and show it, you're really wishing they would make a decision for God, and guess who goes forward? Who do you think goes forward? The ones that always go forward. That's right. Why? Because the Scripture and the understanding of the Bible is based on the use of the spiritual senses. The less they are used, the duller they are. The more unskillful they are. Sometimes I think, it's sad to say, as a pastor, I think, you know, you say, you know, I haven't seen that person make a decision for the Lord in years. And I think about the fact that, man, it's hard to hear a preacher, hard to hear a good message and not know that you need to make a decision. But some people, they're so spiritual, they never need to make a decision. Wonder why that is. Maybe it's because the ears are dull of hearing. and they don't hear very well. It's because they've gone asleep spiritually. And those ears don't hear too well. Their heart, the will of the heart, has become hardened. It takes a big jolt of electricity to stir it up. And that's what the problem with the Hebrew believers was. Their heart had become dull of hearing. The reality is that when we read God's Word, and I trust we read God's Word, you know, reading God's Word has to do with our appetite. And if your appetite isn't too good, that means you're not too healthy. But if your appetite is good and you have an appetite for God's Word, then the truth of God's Word ought to be doing something in our lives. It ought to be opening our eyes more. It ought to be opening our ears more. It ought to be building our appetite more. And I know that's ideal, and that's the way it should be, but we know that it isn't always that way. And it doesn't matter how old you've been in the Lord. You can be 30 years old in the Lord, and you can still struggle with these things. But we have to ask ourselves tonight, how are our spiritual senses? When was the last time the Spirit of God spoke to your heart from your Bible reading, and you made a decision about something that you were going to do or change because you read the Bible? And we're going to close there. Devotion notebooks. I look at the devotion notebooks. I look at a key phrase, word. I should. Well, that's good that they got that truth out of there. But probably knowing human nature probably doesn't do any good. Why? We die with good intentions. What's the real word? God said this, and this is what I'm going to do about it. Amen? That's the difference. That action develops the senses, exercises the senses. It gives a person the greater ability to understand God's Word over time as they study the Scriptures, as they walk with God. Let's pray. Father, pray that you bless the truth of your Word. And Lord, in all of our lives, it's good for us to take inventory even tonight about our senses, our appetite, our hunger. Our ability to obey, our ability to hear, the Spirit of God, as we read your word. And Lord, pray that even tonight we might do business with you. While our heads are bowed, God is speaking to your heart. You recognize that.